All right, today is Wednesday, December 9th, and this is Delaney Bauer speaking with Misty Raines. A reminder that this interview is for the Kentucky Oral History Commission's COVID-19 in Kentucky Oral History Project, which is funded through a Kentucky Humanities Council CARES grant. The project seeks to document the global coronavirus pandemic through the diverse experiences of Kentuckians, and today you'll be sharing your own personal connection to the COVID-19 crisis as both a resident of the Commonwealth and as a small business owner. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Awesome. So first we'll start with some basic background information softball questions. I hope you don't get these wrong.
Me too.
All right. So what's your full name, date of birth, and where were you born?
Okay. My name is Misty Cheyenne Raines. I was born on July 7th, 1982 in Monticello, Kentucky.
And then where do you live now?
I live in Somerset, Kentucky.
Okay. So not too far away.
Not far at all.
Great. So what was it like growing up in Monticello? Can you tell me a little bit about your family life?
I sure can. I'd be happy to. So I grew up in a community called Alpha, which was, you know, Monticello small, but Alpha is even smaller. And it's closer to the Clinton County side of things, which is a little bit further west. We grew up in Alpha. We knew everyone. Everyone knew everyone. All the kids on that side rode the same school bus. And we were always up in each other's business. And my family isn't large. Nearby our home was, well, next door was my grandfather. He passed away when I was 17. I grew up playing with the neighbor girls down the red dirt road, for real. And we would go barefoot in bicycles, and we were always sweaty and dirty. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So very much what you look like right now.
Yes. I'm sweating. Yes. A little worse, but
No.
It was, we always were very outdoorsy kids. Mm-hmm. We were kind of like little dirt dauber people. We were always listening to MC Hammer and Billy Ray Cyrus and just, we would play school. These were like the sisters I didn't have that lived next door. Mm-hmm. We were a little bit hillbilly, but.
So do you feel like Kentucky has helped shape the person that you are
today?
Yes. Yeah, do you feel like a really strong connection?
I do, mm-hmm. because Kentucky, and being country, quote unquote, is probably one of my more proud things. And it didn't used to be. When I was younger, I saw the allure of big cities. And I wanted to live in New York. And I wanted to change my name to Stacy. And to be a beautician. And a famous author. And, you know, it's not until I probably took a job with Fork Broadcasting. I started falling in love with my community first. Mm-hmm. And then Kentucky. And then, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go anywhere. Like, I identify with it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess then sort of walk me through the trajectory of your professional career. So what did you do before owning a small business?
Okay, so that was a colorful, experimental 20 years. I started out in radio when I was 18. I was also in the military and did 4 years in the Kentucky National Guard, but my civilian job was at Z93 in Monticello. And I didn't last long there. I was in a hurry to get out of my hometown and feel like an adult. So I took a job in Frankfort with the National Guard and was full-time. From there, I moved to Lexington and I worked a couple of retail jobs like Dell Computers, the kiosk in the mall. Mm-hmm. Then I got into retail pretty much exclusively in 2009. And I was working at Belk here. Mm-hmm. I did the cosmetic counter for about 5 years. I advanced in it and actually took a job in Nashville and transferred there for only 8 months. But I do have a little girl, and she did not like Nashville. She wanted back in Somerset. So that's what we did. And after that, once I returned, I did a little more retail at my old job, but then got the job with Somerset 106. So 106 was a great place, great small business in Kentucky and ran by true professionals and very good supporters and educators. They taught me a whole lot. And then I fell in love with small business. That's where it happened. I started thinking I could make a difference for small business owners by just getting them the right kind of advertising. Mm-hmm. It sounded like a sales pitch, and I was an outside salesperson, mm-hmm. but I really cared. I really wanted to help everybody I could. I don't care if it was the tire place down the street, a boutique, a salon, even the old folks home, like who, I wanted their information out because I was going there and seeing all these cool things they had, services they offered. Then I met Angela here. Mm-hmm. My boss kept going, go to Trader Jack's, go to Trader Jack's and see them. They're new. They just had a ribbon cutting. And I did. And we bonded like the first day. Mm-hmm. We're in her office watching Beavis and Butthead. We have long forgotten the sales call. Mm-hmm. I loved her little shop. I never shopped in boutiques because I, for some reason, thought they were too overpriced for me. Or it wasn't my style. So, but it changed that here. I was like, wow. Then it got me really interested in the inner workings of retail and small business ownership. So that's when I branched out on my own. Mm-hmm. And I think in hindsight, I bought a shop up the street. Mm-hmm. It was a boutique that had been here for a number of years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I just felt compelled to try to get it when I learned it was for sale because I had so many ideas. I wanted to sell so many products I wanted to sell that I felt like nobody around here was doing. Mm-hmm. The snarky stuff, mm-hmm. the stuff I love to buy online. Yeah. We didn't have a local resource for that at the time. Mm-hmm. So I made the jump. It lasted about a year and a half, and it was a struggle city because you can't just buy a business because you want to and then expect to succeed. Like, you need to have some more knowledge and experience. It was a lot more than what I had bargained for. Mm-hmm. So February of this year, Angela and I decided, forget it. Mm-hmm. Let's just combine our shops. Mm-hmm. She has a great location here at Grand Central, and I was up the street on Monticello Street. So it became a total and this totally great move for us. Mm-hmm. She had her full-time employees, had actually a couple of her real important ones, I'd say, with a lot of skill set and value here, mm-hmm. had moved on to jobs that were more local to them. So they stayed, you know, behind. She lost her, you know, dependable employees. I didn't have any employees, really. I had some help from a sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, great. I can be your other hand. You can be my better location. Let's do this together. Mm-hmm. And we have. And since then, and it's just been COVID.
Yeah. We'll get to that, I promise.
Yeah.
When thinking about Local Honey, your mm-hmm. boutique before, uh-huh. You said that you bought the business. Mm-hmm. What type of merchandise was there? How did you sort of make that transition into something that you really wanted to
yes.
see?
So when I got there, the style there, the business I bought was called Everything Beautiful Boutique, and the owner really helped me out, or the former owner. She was like, if you need anything, mm-hmm. I've been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. So I did rely heavily on her. But she and I had totally different visions. Like, but she knows her clientele, you know, mm-hmm. and I didn't. I walked into a place not really knowing who shopped there and what the demographic was, but I didn't matter. I knew what I wanted to carry. So I kind of changed from a more, she was probably more dressy clothes, and I'm more of a, like, casual, fun tops, slinky stuff, mm-hmm. leggings, you know. So those changes, I think, went pretty well, but I don't think my finances were ever enough to really fully, completely fill the store as I wanted to, and the location was not very good.
Mm-hmm. And so, as an owner mm-hmm. of a small business, what are your day-to-day responsibilities?
Okay.
If you have, like, a normal day, could you walk me through what that looks like?
Okay, so usually we open at 10 a.m. Ideally, we'll be here about 10 minutes before. Turn on the lights, take the signs outside to the sidewalk, mm-hmm. and turn on the open sign. We usually light a candle, something not too aromatic, mm-hmm. but something to make the place smell really nice, and turn on the music. After that, Angie and I break up our responsibilities. So she's more of an office person and I'm more of the front person. Mm-hmm. So I just really try to dazzle everybody that comes in, make friends and make some sales. And, of course we do have to, we powwow on orders. What are we missing? What do we need? And what do we want to get? Mm-hmm. Check our budgets. Clean. Have to clean a lot now. But yeah, I mean, it's not very hard on my end. I feel like she has the harder job, but she thinks the opposite. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of complements each other.
And do you guys have a dedicated staff that works here?
We do. Mm-hmm.
And so how do you keep them motivated?
They are self-motivating.
Oh, great.
So I can't complain at all about the help we have. One of our ladies, Lynn, is very good with customers. She knows a lot. She's easy to talk to. She's not great with register, but if you've got somebody that's great with people, mm-hmm. then you're okay. Caitlin is my sister-in-law from Local Honey, and mm-hmm. she is no longer my sister-in-law, but we are still, mm-hmm. we're still close friends. She dated my brother mm-hmm. for 5 years. My little brother. But anywho, she's excellent at everything she does. Mm-hmm. She's just a self-starter. We can take off a day and she's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so obviously the relationship that you have with your customers is incredibly important.
Very.
So could you talk about the process of building that customer base and then how you work to maintain a good rapport mm-hmm. with those clients?
There's no real master plan with it. I just really, really love people and talking to people. So that was one of the biggest reasons I loved retail. I love the product. Shopping's fun, but it was the people. Mm-hmm. And I don't really have to try, so I just talk to them like I would my friend. Mm-hmm. If they come in and I don't recognize them, it's okay. I'd be like, how is your morning? Mm-hmm. This sucks today. This is awesome today. I love this song. You can get them to talk so easily. Mm-hmm. People, I don't try not to aggravate, but people are so willing to talk. Mm-hmm. And then you find out what they really came in for, help them out. So, yeah, it's not hard to find rapport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have a lot of people who were dedicated customers from your former mm-hmm. boutique coming in here as well?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. I have people that, that I've kind of kept. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I kind of feel like they've been on a journey with me.
Yeah.
They saw, and I think they are really happy with the change too. Mm-hmm. They really love the new shop. They love the styles we're carrying and I think they're just happy to see it grow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And speaking of growing, could you talk a little bit about your social media presence and mm-hmm. then how you build that online community? Because I feel like you have several different outlets where you're like
yes.
direct to sort of customer interfacing.
I do fall short in that if I'm not on top of it mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. And I know now it is so very important to be online and get your name out there because in these times where we do have coronavirus, we're not seeing the traffic we used to see. So sometimes our only bridge to the customer is Facebook or Instagram. And it's usually Facebook right now for us. Mm-hmm. We also have started a .com a few months ago and trying to hopefully let that be there for those who can't get out, mm-hmm. who can't do pickup service, or who can't just need a quarantine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yeah. And you do Facebook Live.
Yes.
I see you guys do that a lot, too. Is that something that you have planned, or just sort of whenever the feeling strikes?
Well, we were doing it whenever the feeling struck, but we're actually starting a new thing this week, and we're going to start Friday Night Lives. Mm-hmm. So we were both kind of hesitant to, I don't know why. After hours, we're both tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Angie's been on board with it for a while, and I'm finally like, yeah, I think that's great. We should do it. So we're going to start doing Friday Night Lives and do a live sell and hopefully increase sales for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, and also I think you just mentioned a few minutes ago, that at the beginning of February, you were sort of smack dab in the middle of that transition from mm-hmm. your former boutique to merging with
yes.
Trader Jack's. And that was also right on the cusp of COVID.
Yes.
So how stressful was that process? And then how did it affect your earliest memories of coronavirus?
Oh, wow. Okay, it was extremely stressful. Mm-hmm. I remember my first full day here was February 14th. And we're jumping right in with the social media. We are so excited because we got the store looking how we wanted. It picked up pretty good until coronavirus hit the news in a really big way. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I don't think any of us knew what was really going on. We were, you know, listening to the governor and watching the news, but there were also rumors like we're going to be trapped in our homes and the police will pull us over if we're out. So we were fretting anyway. Mm-hmm. We were fretting when like we didn't have but like 12 cases in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. We were fretting and we had to close the door due to the governor's mandate. Mm-hmm. And jump right into exclusively online sales. Mm-hmm. Which was super difficult. Because our foot traffic had already slowed so much, mm-hmm. we didn't have the money to put in for fresh inventory. So we had to move all of these leftover winter styles. Mm-hmm. We started offering pre-orders so that we wouldn't over or under order certain designs. Mm-hmm. And then I think we had 300 something in off one pre-order, mm-hmm. but you live, you learn. It was yeah. definitely an experience right. that took a lot of, honestly, sweat and tears and exhaustion. Mm-hmm. I remember, since the doors were closed, our whole floor we moved stuff was covered in invoices and shipping labels and shirts. And we sat in the floor and just, I mean, marked off. It took the two of us. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had our kiddos here, too, and they never hush. So...
And so then where are you getting your inventory from? Who's supplying that to you?
So several people, several places. So once you enter the boutiquing, I don't know, community, you actually can shop from any clothing wholesaler. And there are hundreds and thousands of them. We just find the ones that we like their styles that are tried and true. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of brands that we almost always have. Mm-hmm. We like their quality, their price point, their style, that kind of thing. So we order from numerous clothing vendors, and then we also dabble in gifts and gifty stuff. Mm-hmm. The funner the better. Mm-hmm. And those, again, are just people we find. I mean, mm-hmm. some of it is... You could almost go to every boutique in town, and we all share some of the same brands. Mm-hmm. But there's some that we really, truly have to work to seek out. Mm-hmm. There are other small business places that we try to support. So our biggest seller are t-shirts, graphic t-shirts, mm-hmm. and all of those are ordered from small businesses, mm-hmm. Either locally or as far as Texas. Mm-hmm. We like doing the local, but we also like designs that other people can make, and we don't want to unfairly use that design, so we'll mm-hmm. order it from the artist. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we actually use Acorn Designs for a lot of our stuff. Good Brothers has helped.
Has there been any hiccups, like, from vendors getting it to you as a result of COVID?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every day. Still. All the time. Mm-hmm. It is, oh my. I remember a year ago, we would place an order and have it within a week. Mm-hmm. And now, it could be 2 weeks, mm-hmm. which is not great when you're already trying to keep a store stocked. Mm-hmm. And it takes 2 weeks to replenish. So you can't predict what you need to get. Mm-hmm. You just have to wait. So there are lulls sometime. We try to order intermittently, like in between those, to stay stocked. But you almost can't predict what's going to go and what I'm going to need again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But yeah, it's about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And the t-shirts that the small businesses are actually getting the hardest end of it, because we order our t-shirts and things from other small businesses, mm-hmm. they're experiencing the delays from UPS, from the vendor, from UPS shipping, and it gets to them. And then we have to deal with either UPS, FedEx, whatever. We have to deal with the shipping to us as well. And then sometimes we have to ship those to people. So it's a three-step process and it can take so long. Mm-hmm. And people are like, hey, so, and they're always okay, but they're like, hey, so I ordered this and I thought it would be in a week. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I'm really sorry. So, I mean, you can't do anything but like say, hey, please wait it out with us or mm-hmm. we can give you a refund. Mm-hmm. And we hope it's not the refund part.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've had to get really creative in how you market or how you're selling or putting your store out there?
I do feel like that. I feel like so long at this with COVID, you have to get creative. And sometimes I don't know if I know what to do. I just try to stay plugged in and, you know, we don't know how much we can control or affect. You know, even if we had the inventory that everybody wanted online, how do we get that out there where enough people see it to make up for the loss of foot traffic? So it's a double-edged sword almost always.
Right. Yeah. So sort of pivoting just a little bit. Personally, so what was the turning point for you in regards to the severity of the pandemic? So I've heard people mention that it was when Governor Beshear issued like the state of emergency or lockdown or quarantine or mask mandates. So when did it become like real to you?
Okay, so we've had two real moments. The first was when the first mandate happened where we needed to close. And I think we were closed for a couple of months, maybe three. I can't remember. It was all a blur. The second time we are currently facing, and that started on election week and the week that virtual learning was put back in place by the schools. It was an instantaneous drop. We were booming in the summer and we thought it would be great to keep this up. But I was a little worried because summers in retail for small business are generally your hardest. But it was our best. So I kind of felt like the two seasons might be flip-flopped, which is crazy because holiday retail is almost a no-brainer, but it is affecting us.
And so before, or I guess during quarantine, so like before you went back to work or you were coming into the store, like were you able to keep your day structured?
Sometimes.
So how was, I guess, your day-to-day routine affected by the pandemic? Did you have, like, an emotional response to
I think we both did. We were both really scared. We were also scared of the pandemic in the beginning. I mean, I still am. By no means. I mean, we've been lucky. We've not been exposed that we know of. And I feel like some days we see a lot of people, so I'm glad that we've stayed safe. But It was emotional because we were so happy to finally combine and we were so inspired to finally have probably, for lack of a better term, the partner of our dreams. When your best friend is like, come to my boutique and we're going to make something awesome. I'm like, yes, we are. So I think we went from elated and excited and motivated to, holy crap. This is not something we know about. We don't know how to navigate it. So
are you sort of like, I imagine that you're in constant conversation about where you're going or what you're trying to do.
Yes. Yeah. It is constantly like, it's got us rethinking everything. We had a standard markup on our wholesale products. So all of our clothing and gifts, we marked up as we should. But now we can't. So even if at risk, I mean, I'm not paying myself. There have been times Angie's not paying herself. It's just a sacrifice. And we were trying to lower the cost of our products, even though it takes off of our overhead and our own pay, just to keep the lights on.
Right.
Yeah.
And so are you also having conversations with your employees, too, about job security and what that looks like?
So Caitlin is actually almost finished with school. She'll be leaving us. I'm sad because she's great. But she has a great career ahead of her in criminal justice and has a good solid plan. So she's aware. She loves this job because she does, unfortunately, have a little downtime now so she can do her schoolwork.
Do you feel like you're approaching your job differently and that these changes are going to stick? Or do you feel like, oh, we're doing it for the time being, you know, eventually we'll return to something that we've been doing before?
That was my hope for a long time. I feel like we might, if I had to predict, see a real change in normalcy for another year. I hope not. I'm prepared mentally for it, but I'm not sure what that will leave us.
Right.
So, what we're doing here is a declining industry anyway, because so much is going online. Mm-hmm. And I see the value of it. Mm-hmm. I use Amazon. I know the value of instantaneous gratification, fast shipping. I understand. And they can often get it cheaper than what we can, or sell it cheaper than we do, because they are so massive. Mm-hmm. So a declining industry on top of Corona is extremely challenging. We have moments where we shine and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to be great. We are going to be fine. We're elated. Mm-hmm. We can't be happier. And then there were times it takes a lot to get us there. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are we going to do? But that has been how it is.
Yeah.
Since the day I walked into the shop, like at my first day alone at Local Honey, I was like, I don't know what to do.
And so do you feel like you guys balance each other out then?
Very much so. Right. Yin and yang. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yin and yang.
So in regards to like any sort of momentary freakouts, you're able to
calm each other down? One of us is always calm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always. It's usually her.
Mm-hmm. So of the three people that I'm interviewing, you're the only parent.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So has it been difficult to balance your daughter's online education with owning and operating a small business?
No. Honestly, it hasn't. Awesome. She's a rock star. Mm-hmm. That kid loves homework, and she's a brainiac and does it. There are times when I don't know. I can't do high school math. She's in eighth grade. She's 13 and in three high school classes. Mm-hmm. Thank God her dad knows how to do math. But it's not been challenging. She goes to Science Hill School, too. So they just went virtual. Mm-hmm. So ask me again in a week, I think. Right. So far, so good.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that sort of leads me into my next question then. When thinking about both sort of local and state government responses to the pandemic, what do you think has worked and what hasn't worked?
I feel like they haven't done enough. Mm-hmm. I feel like offering PPP loans at the start of the pandemic when we had to close was smart, but it doesn't last. Mm-hmm. So we got that, back in March or something, and that's been long gone. Mm-hmm. You know, now we're like, what can we do? Mm-hmm. You know, we have bills. I have a business loan personally for my portion that I have to pay, and I'm sad about it. I'm like, I want help, but who do you ask? So,
So as a private citizen, mm-hmm. not as a small business owner.
Right.
I'm thinking about sort of social media and sort of the information that's being presented, and it's just sort of all really like discordant.
Yeah.
Where are you getting your information from? Okay. Where are you like digesting that or getting tidbits?
Okay, so every morning I listen to NPR on my Alexa when I get ready. I love NPR. I listen to them, like their podcasts or radio shows. But I also that's where I get my main, you know, for lack of a better term, mainstream news. Mm-hmm. But I also just read a lot online. I keep my alerts on my phone, so at least I know kind of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Tiny little Apple Watch over here.
Yeah.
And are there sort of conversations that you're having with friends or family? Like, I feel like they're sort of exhausting to have at this point, but we're still having them.
So my daughter's really good. I don't really have to talk to her. I do try to remind my parents to be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Once coronavirus took out Joe Diffie, though, my dad was like real serious about it.
Prop me up, baby.
I know, beside the jukebox. He was like, oh, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a strong silent type. I would have never thought I'd see him in a mask, but he's worn one the entire time. So now it's not really been a huge topic for us. I think more exhausting is social media's opinion on it. Sure. It's not political. I just want to stay safe. Right. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you run into customers who are pushing back against any mask mandates? It's all been smooth sailing.
No. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say I jump on everybody that doesn't wear one in here, as long as it's only one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
If there are two people in here with a mask, somebody needs to put one on.
Right.
And I will just ask politely.
Mm-hmm.
That has not happened very often. Our customers have been so good about it, and I'm surprised, because when the mask mandate started, I was nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I made a preemptive post like, hey, you know, it's a kind thing to do. Let's just do it and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a few months ago, and it's still in effect.
Right.
And honestly, it's not been a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
And so as far as Science Hill, like, just going virtual or, like, a local response, are you seeing sort of direct impact on your community by the decisions that are being made at sort of, like, an administrative level?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I can see... I think it's all kind of telling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can go on Facebook now and probably read 5-10 stressed out parents who are trying to juggle work and this. I'm fortunate to be able to be here because my kid can come, you know, and her child comes here often. She's a little younger. Mine's more independent on, you know, age wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I sympathize with them. It has to be hard. Mm-hmm. I am very, very lucky to not have that added as an added stressor, because it's not been so far.
Mm-hmm.
So fingers crossed on that.
Do you have like a support group of other local small business owners that you guys sort of talk back and forth or share your stories?
John from Market on Main and Tammy Haler from Mulhall. Those are my two main people. They when I first did it, you know, went out on my own, those two were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Sassy Southern was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. They all helped me. Like, they helped get my name out. They included me on their Small Business Saturday events. We all partnered together. I can kind of tell how we're doing. You know, we all check in every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't hear from each other when things are going good, but when we get that text, like, man, is it slow down there? Like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. It helps to know, is it just us, or is it outside?
Yeah. You know? And so do you think that you've been able to, like, establish your business as, like, a place that helps build community in Somerset, or
I want to more
hopes of doing that?
I do. Now, we do things off the record, and it's kind of like, if you do things that are charitable and then you talk about it later, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, we do our own things. We do help the community, but in a very quiet way. Mm-hmm. And it may just be an individual, it may be a cause, it may be a house fire, it may be, it's not anything that ever makes, you know, the paper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we help, and it's very often, and I wish to make a bigger community impact that, well, I will say that, you know, I partnered with a couple of nonprofits in town before to do some events.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done that often, and we haven't been approached lately. I'm not sure if COVID's, like, messing with, I'm sure it is that, but it's, the opportunity hasn't come up to really do much this year. But we do our part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have anything that's going on right now as, like, the sort of the holidays roll up?
Or? Well, we just got a bunch of really cool gift stuff that, actually proud that we found a good price point on this stuff, and it's excellent stuff. So I'm pretty stoked about that. And, I don't know. We'll have some sales. We're going to be doing probably 12 days Christmas sales.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there other boutiques that you look to?
Yes.
Like, I like this, what they're doing here, and sort of model that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There's one in New Jersey that I follow, and I just fell in love with the owner. She's so bubbly and positive, and she's been through some junk in her life. Survived breast cancer as a young woman. She's a mother. Things like that. She's very inspirational to watch, very entertaining, and she has great product.
Mm-hmm.
So I love her lives. I don't know if I could ever emulate it, but Angie loves her too. We just mm-hmm. watch her. We're like, oh my gosh. I wish I was a Katrina. That's her name.
A Katrina. So I guess we'll say sort of like as we start to wrap up, what do you envision for your small business in 2021? Do you feel like you can even plan for long term?
I don't. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess so. I think by default, that's my plan. Mm-hmm. Just business as usual. Mm-hmm. If we have backup ideas, mm-hmm. if it looks like, you know, hopefully this never happens, but if it looks like this is going to last a lot longer mm-hmm. and we're at risk of shutting down our brick and mortar, mm-hmm. I think we're both very heavily invested in the idea of just going strictly online. Mm-hmm. And it would suck, but hey, who's to say we can't just come back, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, build it out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, I would like for you to think about changes or shifts in your life that you've made as a way to cope with a global pandemic.
Okay.
And so there's always this dialogue that's like going back to normal or the new normal, which yeah. maybe we're all very tired of hearing those phrases by mm-hmm. now. But I'm just sort of wondering what your personal takeaways have been over the last 9 months.
I think the biggest thing is empathy. Mm-hmm. I think no matter the opinion someone might have over mask mandates and political whatevers, mm-hmm. empathy is the biggest thing mm-hmm. because every person that walks through the door is a member of this community or someone's community, and I want that person to be okay. Mm-hmm. And like, I didn't go to Thanksgiving this year for the first time with my elderly aunts and uncles. You know, my grandparents have been gone for a long time. That's where we go, and I had every intention of going, and my conscience would not let me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I stayed home and played video games on Thanksgiving. I ordered some pizza. But it was okay. Mm-hmm. I just want people to be okay, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from it, mm-hmm. is just simply give a damn about your neighbor.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any changes to your sort of daily routine of
no.
anything?
No. I just wear a mask. Yeah. It's the same, and hand sanitize a whole lot.
Yeah, like phone, keys, wallet, mask.
Yeah, phone, keys, wallet, mask, and hand sanitizer. We're yeah, good.
All of that.
I don't eat out as much. Yeah. Do any? Well, no, that's not true. We did get Somerset delivery, so I eat out a lot, actually. But I don't sit down in restaurants as much.
Right. Yeah, we've made that change, too.
Mm-hmm. Stinks.
Yeah. So I guess before we close, is there anything that you would like to add or feel like we didn't get to cover? I mean, there's so many aspects, I think, to owning your own
yeah.
small business that, like, you know, I'm sure that I didn't touch on the half of what you do.
No, I think the biggest thing, I used to, it's a very emotional thing. It is a very emotional process. It's a very emotional life. When you are heavily invested in something you view as your creation and people respond to it, that's emotional in itself. And when it isn't going well, that's equally emotional. And we have ups and downs like every retailer out there. We have our great days and we have our crap days. But I think in the beginning, it used to hurt me a lot if I didn't see familiar faces in. I think that's the thing. I think that if I could get something out, just about small business and not COVID, mm-hmm. remember your friends that are doing this. Mm-hmm. And I know you know well.
Sure.
You have one yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult, I think, to accept that. But then it took me a while. But I guess the point is just if you see your friends doing stuff, just go in. Check it out. No purchase necessary. Just show your support. Show up. And let me see your face every now and then.
Right.
Right.
So do you think your skin is a little bit thicker than when you first
started? Oh, absolutely. I would say quite a bit.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So I guess if you could sort of give any advice to someone who might be interested in, mm-hmm. in sort of pursuing
yes.
a similar career, what would you say to them?
I would say don't take it lightly at all. Mm-hmm. This is a life-changing experience. You will work all the time. You do not have set hours, mm-hmm. ever. You are always on call or your doors are shut.
Mm-hmm.
Be very, very sober about your decision. Look up numbers. Look at how that industry you want to get into is performing on a national scale. Look at things like overhead. Know that there are going to be surprises. Factor that in your budget. Know something about business. And definitely market the hell out of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you have a goal, go for it, dude. You know, do it. Do it. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I think that's sort of the long and short of it, Misty. Thank you so much.
That was fabulous.
Yeah, for participating. All right. Here we go.
Thank you. Yeah.